Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
My name is Alaska, and you're listening to 11, the official theater podcast.
Hello and welcome to 11, the official theatre podcast that brings the biggest stars and creatives together in one place to discuss life in the arts. She's one of the biggest drag artists in the entire world that's not afraid to serve up some live music, performance or raw comedy skills. After a starring appearance on season 5 of RuPaul's Drag Race, she returned to snatch the crown on All Stars and win her place as one of the greatest. With pop sensation Dua Lipa the latest in an army of top-tier supporters posting their love online for her, and her new comedy special arriving now on OutTV USA, perfectly titled the Alaska Thunderfuck Extra Special Comedy Special, let's find out what life's like for one of the best in the business, including how theatrical inspirations actually helped create her authentic drag persona, getting the opportunity to play Frankenfurter in the Rocky Horror Show on stage alongside Michelle Visage and Willem, how her fans have directly impacted and helped shape the music and career choices that she makes, becoming the unofficial voice for the Brazilian Tourism Board thanks to her music, why she is hopeful of a run in the West End in the future, and why the world fucking needs drag right about now. So get ready to say hi, I've always wanted to do that, to the one and only Alaska on this, the next episode of 11, the official theatre podcast. Just to let you know, due to the COVID-19 global pandemic, Alaska and I connected digitally, so please forgive any brief moments while we wait for the internet to catch up. Enjoy. Direct from world domination, it's one of my all-time favorite drag superstars that I pray I won't be read to filth on my makeup today. She's a proud thespian and a lover of the arts, so please help me welcome. It's only bloody Alaska. Hi.
Hi. How's it going?
I'm good. I'm very well. Thank you so much for being here. And I should say for everyone, obviously this is a podcast, but Alaska has the most amazing background and backdrop ever. I was giving lots of compliments. Sort of does match my pink shirt, so I feel like there's some form of connection, but it's very floral. It's very sort of earthy. I'm super into it.
Your shirt is pink?
Yeah, it's like a salmony pink.
That's London pink.
I promise.
It's beautiful. That Bless is you. Pure London pink.
Bless you. A lie so early on. How that's, sort of apt.
That's like Joe Black's H&M dress. Pink.
Oh my gosh. Hold on. Let me check. I feel like this might be H&M. Oh no.
I feel don't like... want to see any more fucking H&M.
Oh, okay, right. Well, we could just leave it there then, I suppose. So thanks very much. No, I'm joking. Thank you so much for being here. And thank you so much for talking me through some of the amazing things that you've done, particularly around the arts, around the fact that I know you do love theatre. I know it's a big part of your life and you've done theatre as well, which some people may be surprised to hear, which I'm very excited to sort of dive into and talk about the Rocky Horror Show, because I've seen lots of clips and photographs and stuff that you've done. Personally, yeah. One of my all-time favorite shows, so super excited to talk about that. But before we do all that, I'm very reluctant to talk about COVID because I feel like that's all we've spoken about, but I just want to do a quick check-in with you. So I guess, are you well? You look very well, but I guess how are things for you at the moment? Are you enjoying the world behind a Zoom lens?
No, I am ready for the shot in my arm and I'm ready for like a real live audience. I'm really ready for that. But you know what? I'm doing as best as I can. and I'm blessed and highly flavored.
Have you done a lot of the whole sort of interactive digital drag shows like this? Or have you actually had the opportunity, and I know certain parts of the US you can do like the drive-in drag shows where you actually get to go and meet real life people, which at the moment feels like a very strange thing.
Yeah, I've in the past year, I've gotten to do 4 shows in front of real people, which have been all been drive-in shows, and they've all been fantastic. So it's been, those have been like really, really like lovely blessings, and each one has been like amazing. And but you know what, girl, drag queens will carry on in whatever form we can. So you know, we can figure it out on Instagram or Zoom or whatever. We can figure it out.
Absolutely. And forgive if this is a stupid question, but when you're doing drive-in drag shows, is it different, or is it just like you've got a little bit of a protective shield between you and the audience?
It's very different because everyone is very spread out. I mean, everyone is like thousands of feet away from you. So it's not exactly the same as like, you know, shows used to be. Like, I prefer to be like all up in people's face, and like we're spitting on each other and sweating on each other, and like filthy dollars are being exchanged and put in places. But you know, like, it's fine. I'll take it.
Because I've been to an Alaska show quite a few times, and it is literally that. You love to get involved with the audience. You sort of love that contact between, you know, being heckled, people shouting stuff that they love you. You know, you sort of are very much a person that sort of thrives off the feel of an audience. So I can imagine particularly that first show must have been quite strange to be like, why are you so far away?
So far away and through windshields.
And also, I genuinely don't think there's any way to make a mask look sexy. Like, obviously, Valentina managed to do it, but even the whole thing, I'm like, let's take it off. Let's be one-on-one. You know, I miss seeing people's mouths, believe it or not.
Oh, I know. And I'm like, I feel like I need to tell people, like, I'm smiling under here. I'm just joking. You know, you can't tell. There's so much you like miss.
We all know the fact that you've had this amazingly successful career in the public spotlight, obviously from Drag Race. You've got amazing music, which I'm not even joking, me and my friends are obsessed, so they're going to absolutely die when they find out the fact that I've had this opportunity to talk to you. But I always wondered, was drag always the plan for you? I guess when you sort of were younger thinking, this is what I want to do, was drag the plan? Was perhaps just live performance and singing? I guess, how did you get to where you got to now without telling me everything?
Well, no, drag was not always the plan. I was like, you know, I had like dabbled in drag a little bit just for fun. But back then, drag was not a viable career choice. Drag was like, no, like it was a wild excursion, and just and so I moved to Los Angeles right after college, and I was like, I'm gonna become a serious actor now. I'm gonna leave this drag thing behind. And then I realized I lacked the discipline or skill or interest in becoming it, and all the things you have to do to be an actor. And so I was just doing drag for fun, just to like ease my soul and my mind. And I ended up getting hired to do drag things. So I was like, okay, maybe there's something to that.
Do you remember what it was about performing that you loved? Was it the opportunity perhaps to be a character, and your drag was an extension of that? Or did you just like the fact you could be somebody else and drag happened to be a different thing? I guess, what was the thing that sort of hooked you in?
I mean, I like making people laugh, and I like the energy. I love the energy of the theater, you know? Like I still very much do. I love rehearsal. I love... Okay. Call times. I love the energy in the theater, in the dressing room, when everybody shows up a few hours before, and like it's getting the anticipation of the show. Like, I love those things. I'm such a theater person.
I think you might be the first person I've ever met that says they like call times. That's normally the thing people hate.
Love it. I love it. I love stage managers. Oh, I love the fucking tech people. Oh, the wardrobe. Oh my God. I love them.
It's going to be so strange going back to a theater and a live audience and being so close to people and getting an immediate response, and all the things that now we're like, do not do that, or, you know, you'll die. Now it's like, that's sort of the thing that we have really missed. And I feel like when that does happen, what is that going to feel like? Like, that's going to be insane.
It's going to feel awesome. And it's going to be like, girl, I don't know. It's going to be major. I cannot wait.
So you mentioned about comedy, and this is one thing that you're known for, and this is one thing that you are fantastic at. It's just this natural ability to be able to make people laugh, but also to find characters and stories and make them funny, even sometimes make the most difficult of conversations funny. I've seen you just do some amazing political drag and comedy, and I think that's just such a talent, and I don't think it's something that you can learn. When did you first start to realize that that perhaps was in your wheelhouse? When did you go, I'm actually all right at this, you know, I could potentially do this?
Well, I don't know when I mean, when I was first, like, back when, like, MySpace existed, mm-hmm. I was very into, like, just making fun of, like, the absurdity of culture, whether it was, like, the internet or, like the new thing that was social media. Like, I enjoyed making fun of these things. And so I think it came out of that. And ultimately, drag is that. Like, drag yeah. is kind of making fun of the absurdity of gender and, like, you know, the culture. Like, this clothing is for man. This clothing is for woman. That's absurd. That's insane. So drag makes fun of that. So I don't know. I like making fun of stuff.
Just having fun. I mean, literally, that's the end all. Just like having fun and taking the piss out of other things. Like, what more could you possibly want?
Yeah, I like that.
Because theatre and performing, I always feel like people are quite snobby about it. They're always like, oh, it's not a viable career. And I feel like attitudes are definitely changing. And I feel like when people are sort of like, oh, you should get like a real job, like so many people within the sort of performing arts industry in the UK are always like, especially during the pandemic, like, oh, you have to get another job. It just shows it's not a real thing. But actually, performance is so mainstream. Drag is so mainstream now. And there are, of course, discussions around if that's a good thing. But this is something that's being celebrated at the moment. And I feel like that has to be a huge step forward, that the performing arts industry, particularly during these times when we're all listening to albums, watching television shows, watching live sort of performances of its drag, or watching just singing, you know, on live streams, just shows how much we need this industry. Like, this is probably, it shows we are very, very viable and very vital to just our general being.
Yeah, definitely. It soothes your fucking soul, and it makes the world a little bit nicer and a little bit better. And we definitely fucking need that.
Especially at the minute, it's so miserable. It's so nice to speak to someone that's like positive and optimistic. It's like, this is what we need.
I'm trying.
We're doing a good job, so please keep going. I mentioned the Rocky Horror Show at the start, and this is, wow. I mean, this show, like, can we just talk about how fucking brilliant this show is? Like, if you've never seen it, which is for like the three people in the world that haven't seen it, like, go see it, number one, because it was obviously on Glee. I know Laverne Cox did that amazing performance of it, which was on sort of a live TV theater special. It's been in theaters for like, oh God, someone's going to come in my mentions now and say I'm wrong in saying this, but like 30, 40 years. Like, it's been around a long, long time. Before we talk about specifically you, the role that you played, do you remember the first time you ever saw it?
Yes, it was my best friend, Elena, in high school. And she was like, we have to watch this movie. And she introduced me to it. And I was like, what the fuck am I looking at? This is wild. And then, like, we rarely got through to the end of the movie because the movie really goes off the rails and gets real fucking weird. But the beginning is so beautiful and so beautifully shot. And it's a classic story of a boy and a girl going to a haunted castle and getting seduced by vampire, alien, like transvestite, like, work.
Yeah.
Love it.
It's basically the story of every Disney movie I think I've ever watched. You know,
it is.
And in this 2013 production, which I believe was in Texas, you played Dr. Frankenfurter, which is the iconic role that you just referenced, and he sings, I mean, literally some of the best theater songs that have ever been written. I mean, you must have just been like, hello, this is a dream.
I know, and it is, and they're in my range, so I love it. I really do. The music is so beautiful and is such a part of me, and I always dreamed of getting to play that. And then Drag Race happened, and then like the Woodlawn Theater in San Antonio, Texas, they asked me to come do it. And Willem and Michelle Visage were also in that production. We were all living in a house together. Why wasn't there a camera crew? I don't know. But it was wild. It was a wild time in my life.
Did you play that as you, or did you play that as Alaska, or did you play it as a bit of both? I guess, how did you find the character between, for you, I guess, how did you make it your own?
It was a little bit of Alaska, because I, you know, I can't help it. I can't help but it be a little Alaska, but it was also very, you know, drawing on Tim Curry, because it's so like, come on, that's so iconic. His portrayal, his invention of that character is so iconic. It's like, he's always going to be in the room anyway. So you might as well just like, take some of those little like things that it's so...
And you had the look down to a T. I mean, it was like, you looked insane. And anyone that hasn't seen the pictures, please go Google them, because it's amazing. And also, it looks like it feels quite liberating. Did it?
Oh, yeah. I love that kind of drag. That was my, that's how I got into drag. Like, Rocky Horror is such a gateway to drag anyway. It's like people go to the theater and dress up as these really sexy, risque characters who wear their underwear out in public. That is groundbreaking, okay? Yeah. And it's something that I love about drag, is like, you wear shit that isn't even clothes, that is not appropriate for normal everyday life, and you do it and you say, this is it, and this is sickening, and you're celebrated for it. So like, yes, it's lovely. I love wearing underwear as clothing.
I feel like we should make that more of the norm. If there's a social trend and an attitude trend that we can change, please, can we make it that?
Please. It's all I want.
I think at the last DragCon, you wore something very similar to that. And I saw you and I was like, it just looks right. Like, it just works.
Did I? What did I wear?
I don't even know what you call it, just like a shortened dress, and then it was literally just all fluffy at the bottom, and then it was just straight down. I was like, that just looks right. I mean, I would like to wear that myself, but I don't think I'd quite look as good as you did.
I think you'd look great in that, actually. Oh,
that's two nice things you've said. I feel like I thought you were going to be horrible, but now you've been so lovely.
It's all the editing.
Even if you do hate my pink shirt, it is pink, I promise.
That ain't fucking pink. I want you to tweet a picture of this It's a beautiful blouse. Maybe the camera's blowing it out. I want you to tweet a picture of it and let the fans decide.
Okay, I promise. It's not got leopard print stripes in it like yours does, but, you know, halfway to heaven. In the UK, whenever there's a production of Rocky Horror, the audience are like basically like the extra cast member. They're sort of like the 10th member of the team. Was it the same with you? Because having never seen the production before, and then when I went for the first time, I was like, sorry, what's going on?
You were like, everyone in this theater is so rude tonight.
I really was.
Yelling things at the stage. No, that's part of it. And you like, I think we sold like packets of things to give to the audience, because they throw shit at you too. They throw bread at you and cards and like, no, it's a whole ass thing. It's a whole ass thing.
Get your loaf of bread, buy a theater ticket, put on your best stockings and go and throw bread at Alaska. That's basically it.
Yeah.
Is doing more theater alongside drag something that you're sort of, you would like to do? Would you like to tackle, for example, something brand new? I know that Peppermint did that and it was just phenomenal. Or would you like to perhaps do something iconic that maybe isn't normally seen by a drag queen? Would you like to do it away from Alaska? I guess, what would sort of tie you in and entice you into the world of Broadway?
Well, I think that absolutely, yes. My heart is so in the theater and I love theater so much. But I guess it's a question of like, if the right role sort of comes along, then like, great. If I'm really right for the role, then like, perfect. Like, let's do it. So who knows? Yeah. I mean, I'm definitely open to it.
Because there has been this emergence of drag within mainstream theatre. I'm just thinking of the likes of Kinky Boots most recently. In the UK, we have an amazing show called Everybody's Talking About Jamie, which celebrates a young drag queen trying to find himself. I'm sure you'd be familiar with it. And it is just based in the UK at the moment, although I do believe there are plans for it to go to Australia. So hopefully it will branch out. And it makes me excited that drag within theatre is marketable. And that sounds like a slightly boring statement to make, but the fact that people are willing to invest in it and go see it and believe in these stories. And that, for me, as a theatre lover, as a drag lover, that feels like progress. Would you agree?
Yeah, definitely. And drag is, you know, ultimately empowering and uplifting. And that's what, like, that's what theater generally is the goal of it anyway. So I think they do go really hand in hand. And yes, it's amazing to see.
If we could sort of wave the magic wand and be like, right, this is the show, this is the role, what would you do?
Oh my gosh. I don't fucking know. Do you have any suggestions? I don't know.
I mean, I want to say Wicked just because I feel like you'd absolutely serve on the makeup.
Okay, if we transpose all the music, fine. I'll play Elphaba. It's fine. Yes, I'll take that role. Yeah.
I literally just thought that when I interviewed Kristen Chenoweth a little while ago, I said, I like to make everything LGBTQ, just duh. And she was like, I would love to see a drag queen play Glinda. And I was like, why has that never happened before? So maybe, I mean, I don't know how. You've got a good soprano range, so we could make it work.
Okay, all right. You know how my singing voice has often been compared to Kristen Chenoweth. Mm-hmm. This is not the first time. I mean, you really can't. You can't go one day without the comparisons. Constant.
I'm sorry for bringing it up. I'm sorry for being such a cliche interviewer.
Constant comparisons.
Poor Kristen Chenoweth. Like,
she's a literal 4-foot-tall soprano, and I am an 8-foot-tall baritone. On my high, at the high end.
You know how Davina DeCampo says she's got like 4.5-octave range, or I think that's what she says. Like you could be, I thought you were going to say that yours is 8.5-octave. I was like, that's impressive.
No. You know the lowest key on the piano?
Yes.
Imagine that. Okay. That's the highest note I can sing.
That's no, not true. I'm just kidding. Well, it's one more note than I could sing, so I feel like you're sort of halfway there anyway, so. Can I send that to the producers of Wicked? Are you all right with that being your audition?
Hell yeah! Send it over.
Okay, I'm going to take 20% when you get the role, though. I feel like I've been a very crucial part of this.
I think that's fair. I think that's a fair. Yeah, I think that's a fair deal.
On Drag Race UK, which has been incredibly successful, and I absolutely adore the fact that they've been introducing theatre challenges. And of course, there have been many of them on the US version as well, before anyone starts saying that hasn't happened. But I love the fact that there was like a pantomime celebration on there, the Pantomime Dame, which so often is sort of seen as the cheaper end of theatre in the UK and drives me wild, but has now been sent out to the world and we can celebrate this very quintessentially British thing. That in itself is such a strange but brilliant art form, pantomime. And I guess I wondered, have you ever been sort of given an opportunity to come and do it and try it? Do you think that would interest you, or do you think that's just a little bit too British?
Well, I mean, it was very educational for me because I had heard a little bit about sort of like this, the whole vibe of like pantomime and whatever, but like it was very educational watching it happen on Drag Race and being like, oh, okay, like the panto dame, and I've been painting like a panto dame my whole career, so I think it would go really great.
I think UK audiences would love you as well, because going back to the comedy thing we said earlier, that is exactly what British audiences love, is someone that is good in drag, that has amazing comedy. So I think there could be this entire career there for you. Maybe we could make it happen.
All right, I am your panto doll.
Let's talk about your music, because I mentioned at the start, like, I'm obsessed. Like, it's very, very fair to say that I'm obsessed. And I did reference very badly your song, Your Makeup is Terrible, at the start, which just became my anthem for like such a long time. But music to you is obviously a huge part of your career and something that, do you feel very comfortable doing?
Oh yeah, I love it. I'm always writing. I mean, even before Drag Race, I was always like writing songs and like recording a little bit. And so it's something I'm always doing and that I definitely love, yeah.
And was working for the Brazilian Tourism Board doing Come to Brazil something that you planned, or was that just fun?
Yeah, come to Brazil, come in Brazil, come through Brazil is going to be next. Girl, no, I live.
It's such a good song. It's such a brilliant idea, but it's also painfully addictive. Like, I literally feel like I need to scream sometimes because I'm just like, I can't get it out of my head. It's just the same thing round and round again. And then I end up listening to it and I'm like, this is genius. This is why it works.
It does work. And like some of my best songs, I didn't come up with the idea. It came from the kids on Twitter telling me, come to Brazil, come to Brazil. So I was like, well, if we're all saying this all the time anyway, it should be a song. The same thing with Your Makeup is Terrible. Like that, I said it on Drag Race once and people kept saying it and like sharing it. And I was like, okay, we'll make a t-shirt, we'll make a song.
It just shows how powerful fans are then. They literally can't influence what you do.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I've stolen my best work from the fans.
There's a UK TV show called Line of Duty, which is about sort of corrupt police officers, which is beside the point. But the creator of it has said, like, this, because there's loads of like fan theories about this person's this and this person's that. He says that he reads them and they're better ideas than what he thought of. And he's like, you guys should write my stuff.
It's truly how it works now. It is. You can't not take that into consideration.
I love it. And I love your fans as well, because every time that I've had the opportunity to see you at live events and live performances and DragCon that I reference as well, they're very respectful. Like, you do have these sort of amazing, respectful fans, which isn't always the case. I mean, I've seen some fans do some pretty crazy things. Do you like the one-on-one interactions with fans, or can that become quite difficult? Because there is obviously a line between you and them on social media, but when that sort of barrier is gone, it's sort of reveal all, it's sort of no holds barred.
I'm so glad to hear you say that, because no, I mean, it's always like really lovely and really inspiring to get to see who comes to the shows and how, you know, how it affects them and how it, you know, it's really inspiring and really lovely. No, my fans are life and death to me, baby.
And it wouldn't be amiss for me to say that you have a very varied fan base as well, from all ages, all ethnicities, all sizes, all genders, all sexualities, which must be nice to know that you not only do you have this commercial appeal for everybody and everyone supports you and loves you, but also that people feel they can be authentic around you.
No, that's great. That's the power of drag. That's what it does. It's empowering and it inspires confidence, and, you know, and that's the magic of drag.
Magic is the right word. It really is. It's just this art form that's taken on the world, as have you, might I point out. You are literally an actual superstar now.
Why, thank you. I appreciate you.
That's me returning the very nice words that you said back to you. So my very final question for you, because you've been incredibly kind with your time. And also, I love the fact that you're unapologetic about your love of theatre. So thank you so much for that. I'm like, literally making me fall in love with you even more than I was before. Let's talk about milestones and what you'd love to do next. I would love to be incredibly rich and be president of the United States. I don't know. There's some crazy things that I sometimes sit here and think, I could do that. Is there anything wild that you'd like to tackle or do?
Oh my gosh. I think I said it on Drag Race and it still rings true. RuPaul said, what's next, or what are your goals? And I was like, the book, the movie, the made for TV movie, the TV show. I don't know. So it's like, so no, that's great. So the book and the made for TV movie. And we also just did a comedy special, which is really, really fierce, and it's coming out on April 15th.
Yes,
on Out TV USA. So that's a really cool thing, and I'm really proud of it. It's gonna be great.
Always feeding the children. That's what you are. Always feeding us, giving us
feed her.
Literally a Little Shop of Horrors reference. The perfect way to end. Thank you for that.
Feed me.
Alaska, it's such a pleasure, and I'm such a big fan of yours. So thank you so much for giving your time today and allowing me to get lots of compliments. It was very unexpected, so thank you.
Absolutely, thank you. I love that pink blouse.
So it is pink.
That hot pink magenta blouse, honey.
You've been listening to 11, the official theatre podcast. Find out more about 11 at 11podcast.com or via our official social channels.
If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the Rise Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RiseTheatre.org, because only together we rise.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.